Please go ahead and be seated.
Oh, let's go find the back.
You know, before we go any further, I think it's only appropriate that we go to our Father in prayer. You know, the song that we first sung, that Jesus is Lord of all. We want to talk about that this morning, but before we go any further, let's bow our heads and our hearts and we pay homage to the great God who sent His one and only Son. Let's pray. Father, in absolute amazement do we come before You this morning to realize that the God of this universe, who spoke this world into existence, will actually pay attention to us. Who are we that You're mindful of us? And yet, because of Your great love, Your unfathomable love, Father, that we can come before You this morning and approach Your throne in confidence because of what Your Son has done for us, to us, and because of us. And so it is with much gratitude in our hearts that we seek Your face this morning, not only as individuals, but certainly as a family. As we celebrate You, we celebrate each other, and we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And we thank You that He did not remain in the grave, but instead He rose from the dead. And because of that, we have so much hope this morning. And I pray as we open up Your word, that Your Spirit speaks powerfully to our hearts, and that Your name is lifted above every other name, that Your cause is lifted above every other cause, and that, Father, from Your name, from Your wisdom, from Your insight, may we supernaturally lift You up. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, it's an amazing thing. As you grow a little older, as I grow a little older, my wife and I just came back from visiting our grandson. He's about 2 weeks old. Oh, we also visit our son and our daughter-in-law as well. They happen to be there as well. On our way back, hello. Okay, great. Awesome. He just wanted to make sure that we're all good. All right. On our way back, we were driving. We drove to Virginia. It's a few hours drive, but as we were coming back, there was a detour. And as we were directed in a particular place, we're driving and it was a slow drive. And this lady was coming from another street perpendicular to the road that we were on. And in front of us, about three cars in front of us, or three vehicles in front of us, was an 18-wheeler. And this lady comes to the stop sign. And then she didn't pay attention, or I don't know what happened, but she literally T-boned the 18-wheeler. We saw it literally 20 feet in front of us. She didn't get up that morning thinking that I'm going to T-bone an 18-wheeler. The car, as you can imagine, was mashed up. We asked her, "How are you doing?" She said, "I'm shaken up," and you can see her visibly shaken up. I'm not convinced that at that moment she knew where she was. She said the words in English, but I'm not sure she knew what she was saying. And so it was a reminder in those times that you see what is important. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives, and especially when you're younger, that's even a bigger distance. But I want to talk about this morning is the most important message we can hear. Not because it's from me, but the contents of the message. And this is what it says in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 27. It says this. But God chose what the world thinks foolish to shame the wise. And God chose what the world thinks weak to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, what is regarded as nothing, to set aside what is regarded as something. Why did God do this? Why did God use the powerful to shame the weak, the weak to shame the powerful, the foolish to shame the wise, the low and despise for those who regard themselves as something? I'm glad we don't have to figure it out, because it clearly states why. So that no one can boast in his presence. So that no one can boast in his presence. He is the reason you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who became for us the wisdom of God and the righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. You know, this is an amazing thought when you superimpose this to what we see in the world, and God forbid, sometimes what we see in the mirror. And that is a flaunting of how much we have, how smart we are. And all of social media is always trying to project an image of how much we have. Songs on the radio, even some of the most popular ones, are the one that boast about how many women or how many men they can conquer, or what kind of car they drive. And generally, these are the people that are what's called the influencers. And I know what happens. We hear that those people don't influence me. I want you, with humility this morning, examine ourselves in light of God's Word. But the reason that God chose these things is so that no one can boast. He continues. And he says, when, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come with superior eloquence or wisdom, as I proclaimed the testimony of God. That word testimony there is an idea, is to proclaim the mystery of God. That is no longer a mystery, by the way. It has now become revealed to us what that mystery is. But Paul writes And he says, I did not come with such speech. For I decided to be concerned about nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Interestingly, as Paul writes, and he says, my disposition when I was with you for a year and a half, Corinth was a very wealthy, very educated city. And you might think Paul would then use his smarts and his ability to speak with such eloquence in order to convert these people. But he says, that's not how I came with you. Why? So that no one can boast. And you'll see that. He says that even about himself. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. My conversation and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? We don't have to guess again. So that your faith would not be based on human wisdom, but on the power of God. So what Paul's saying here is that I didn't come with you with some freaky sideshow, with some dry ice and the lights blaring in the background so that the spotlight is on me and the rest of the community is in darkness as if it's a movie. So that no one can boast. The idea here, he says, if that's how I came to you and that's how you heard the gospel, then invariably, you were persuaded with my thoughts, with my wisdom, and what I was bringing to you. You weren't persuaded by the gospel message. You were persuaded with my wisdom. And I remember apologizing to you a few weeks ago that we as a people like me who stand up here and have you pay attention, that I had to apologize because we communicated to you somehow, somewhere, the church was about you. And so if you didn't like something, then we'll change it. And if you didn't like the message, tell me what you like. If that's how we have come to know Christ, then I put before you, maybe we haven't come to know Him at all. It's not a show. It's not with wise and persuasive words. It's not with eloquence. Paul writes, he says, I came to you with weakness. Why? Because I wasn't smart? Because I couldn't speak? No, because I want you to understand that it's about Jesus and Him crucified. And that's what I was resolved to know when I was with you, was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I am telling you, I'm so concerned about Christianity today, including the one that I'm a part of, that we are in this. What message do you want to hear? Please tell me. It's my ears.
But that's what you're concerned about. You have put before you. You need the message.
Because if that's the case, your faith would not be based on the power of God and the Spirit
and the demonstration of His power. He continues. Now we do speak wisdom among the mature. Oh, but not wisdom of this age and of the rulers of this age who are perishing. Instead, we speak the wisdom of God, hidden in mystery, that God determined before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood it. If they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This mystery was revealed to us in Christ. The age-old trouble of how does God remain holy and just, and yet solving our problem of sin. It's in the gospel message. What a night show on a Sunday morning.
I've gone to worship services where I feel like I'm in a movie theater. This is worship? Now, if you want to have a concert like that, God bless you. You want to sing Christian song? Awesome. Yes.
What am I doing?
I'm wrong again. Can I live without Alex? I can't. I just saw a video of an interview with Mike Tyson. Most of you know who Mike Tyson is, what one time one of the most feared boxer in the world. And so someone was interviewing him, and on the table stood the belts that he had once possessed and the trophies. And he said, "These don't mean anything to me now." What do you mean? He said, at one time they did. That I lived my life. I trained. They meant so much to me. And the person said, "Why?" "Well, I've grown up. I've grown up. Have we?" Paul writes and he says, "I concerned myself with nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Another time in the scriptures, the Bible talks about this idea that we should not love the world or anything in it. You know what it says? If you love the world, then you do not love the Father. What? Well, let me show you how I do both. Let me show you how I can do both. and in our world today, and in my life today, there's almost this war that is raging in me that I can do both. And in moments of clarity, you ask yourself the question, what really matters? In 20 years from now, no one is going to care how much hours you worked, what you were focusing on. There are literally a few people. Some of you have another job now that you didn't have before, and those people have never called you. They're not thinking about you. They don't care about you. Now, that's because, not because they're mean. It's that human beings. And yet a lot of us in our lives are fighting so much for the moment and are not resolved to know nothing except Christ and Him crucified. We're more concerned about how we look. That's why I had my hair cut. It was getting unruly. I took out my shaver and it zoom, zoom, in 5 minutes it was done. I don't know what you're saying. I can see it. But the idea remains, who do you love? What concerns you? No, really. In the deep recesses of your heart where nobody goes. Where you're afraid to go. What do you love? The bride of Christ. The church has now been clothed with shiny dresses, well-done hairstyles, and we think that's how the world is going to be attracted. We're almost prostituting the bride of Christ. And I will say it again. If there are things that we communicate that says this is about you, then I've done you wrong. I've done you wrong. The message that Paul tried to communicate to the church there in Corinth was one that said, your problems and how the gospel was communicated to you is so that you can't boast and I can't boast. As a matter of fact, no one can boast except in the grace of our Lord. Amen. What do we boast in? Better phrased, what do you feel most proud of? Your name is on a mortgage, or you paid it off. Your car is done. The letters after your name after you've gone to university. Which university you go to? How long your hair is? how short your hair is, the color of your skin, the color of your hair, whether or not you have hair. What do you boast in? What are you most proud of? What do you humble brag about? You know what humble brag is? When you think you're trying to, that you're communicating to people that you're humble, but but you're actually sharing about yourself. It's called humble brag, right? And somehow, when you're sharing, it's about how you're lifting yourself up. And worst part is, you think you're fooling people. But I just wanted to share before we partake in the Lord's Supper. That's the message of the gospel. The problem that God had in heaven, which was to save mankind and still maintain its holiness and its just and righteousness. He said, I am going to send Jesus Christ to die on your behalf. Because what you have done, instead of you're going to face not the punishment that you deserve, but Christ is going to face that punishment. And so we sing songs like Lord of All. We sing songs that says Jesus is Lord of all. And your heart is filled as you sing those songs. And if your heart is not filled when you sing those songs, you better fight. You better fight for your soul and for your faith and for your heart. I thank you that you at least pretended to listen this morning. But I don't care if you listen to me. I really don't. I hope the Spirit penetrated your heart this morning to calibrate in your heart what ought to be at the forefront of your mind and your heart. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so, as we reflect this morning, may we never boast about how great I am. How about great you are? But boast in what Christ has done for us and to us. That, my brothers and sisters, that, my friends, is how God solved the problem on earth of man's sinfulness and maintained his justice and his holiness. And so every week we come together to celebrate that. And it's a moment that we take to reflect on it. And so we'll take the blood, the wine that represents the blood, and the bread that represents the body of Christ. And if you don't have a communion, please raise your hand. Why don't you have? Please raise your hand. The brothers are going to, after you get it, please go ahead and put your hand down so they know where to go. And so let us go ahead. Keep your hand raised, please. Let's go ahead and give thanks. Not boast, but thanks. Let's pray. Father, it's so convicting to look at your word and to look into the mirror of the perfect law that you've given us and to realize how full of myself I can be. How I can think about the most important person in the world as me, and yet the longer I live this life, the better I can hide it. Father, I pray as we come as a congregation before you this morning, it is with humble hearts, a humility that says there's nothing I can boast about. Except what Christ has done for me and to me. As we take this the bread that represents the body and the wine that represents the blood, I pray that is always at the forefront of our minds and our hearts. There's no rival in our hearts about what we love, what we adore, what we think about, what's most impressive about us. I pray that all of those answers are found in the cross of Jesus Christ. That all those answers is found in the statement, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. May we not be lured by a dress, by a light, by even human wisdom, but help us be lured by Christ and His death. It's in the name of Jesus we offer up this prayer, and may we boast in nothing except you. I pray this all through the name of Jesus. Thank you for His death, because it meant life for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.